You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, May 19th. Republicans in Washington, D.C. are working to revamp the president's budget bill after it was blocked by House members who want deeper cuts. The bill would overhaul Medicaid, the government program that pays for health care for 1 in 3 Oregonians. OPB's Amelia Templeton reports.
Congressional Republicans want to require 80 hours a month of work or volunteering for adults on Medicaid. During a markup of the budget bill this week, Cliff Benz, who represents Oregon's 2nd Congressional District, said it's about accountability.
A work requirement for those who are able, for the $9,000 a year it costs for them to be on that program, I think that's too much to ask.
Students, parents of young children, people who are disabled, and tribal members would be exempt. State officials estimate it would apply to about half of Oregonians currently enrolled, some 670,000 people. Many of those people are likely already working. Others could lose their health insurance if Republicans find a path to passing their bill. Amelia Templeton, OPB.
Oregon State Police, along with local and federal agencies, have served multiple search warrants at West Coast Game Park Safari in Bandon, Oregon. Jefferson Public Radio's Justin Higginbottom reports on the exotic zoo's troubled history.
A law enforcement raid of the Coos County attraction comes after a lengthy criminal investigation, according to state police. On Thursday morning, authorities were combing the park for evidence related to issues of animal care and business practices. The USDA cited the park 78 times for not complying with animal welfare regulations over the past year. Inspectors have reported 2 lions and a leopard had ribs showing, suggesting they were underfed. They also noted that multiple animals, including 2 wallabies, have disappeared without any documents of sale or death. The IRS and the Oregon Department of Justice are assisting with investigating the zoo, which includes over 300 animals. The park owner did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Justin Higginbottom in Ashland.
Nearly 10% of Oregon kindergartners have a non-medical exemption to some or all of the vaccines that are required to attend school. That's according to numbers released last week by the Oregon Health Authority. The number of parents requesting non-medical exemptions to vaccines has been steadily increasing in Oregon. The OHA says those numbers increase the chance for an outbreak of highly contagious, previously eradicated diseases like measles. About 8% of Lane County kindergartners had at least one non-medical vaccine exemption, putting the county just below the state average. 7% of Benton and Lincoln County kindergartners have exemptions. Meanwhile, roughly 11% of Lynn, Douglas, and Deschutes kindergartners are exempt. Health officials urged parents to talk to their doctors about vaccines.
Many homeless people are finding themselves in a sort of medical in-between. Not sick enough for the hospital, but not well enough to take care of themselves on the streets. As Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports, some programs are trying to fill this gap.
Gregory Sovic lived on the streets of Reading for 10 years after experiencing family deaths and financial losses. Eventually, he met Dr. Kyle Patton, the medical director of the HOPE program at Shasta Community Health Center.
I met Dr. Patton in the bush. I had the respect for him because he was out in the bush. It takes a lot of guts to do that.
At the time, Sovic had a growth on his nose that Dr. Patton thought should be removed. But Sovic's camp was swept soon after that, and Dr. Patton wasn't able to follow up. When he finally saw Sovic again months later, the cancer had grown a lot.
It started to get into my eye and my upper lip. Went into radiation treatment, and that's where I lost my right eye.
Sovic needed a place to rest and recover while receiving radiation therapy. That's essentially what medical respite care is, a quiet place for homeless people to heal from an acute issue, like an infection or a wound, something that could put them in the hospital or would be hard to heal on the streets. But even if someone is able to get into medical respite, a question still looms. What next? Dr. Kyle Patton with the HOPE program sees medical respite as a sort of stopgap.
We're the safe discharge plan for the hospital. They come to medical respite.
That's for people who need more care than a traditional homeless shelter provides, but they don't have a home for a health aide to visit. They might not have insurance, and even if they do, it might not cover long-term stays in a facility.
I call it the, like, you can't go home, but you can't stay here type situation, right? Like, I don't have anywhere else to send them, but I can't just, like, leave this patient here in this situation.
The HOPE program's medical respite served 133 people last year, both in hotels like Sovic and in their Hartman house. Walking into the house on a quiet residential street in Reading gives the impression of walking into both a home and a doctor's office. Rima Benson with Shasta Community Health Center shows me around.
This is the men's dorm, so there's 10 rooms back here. There is a person sleeping, so I'll be a little more quiet.
There's a medical clinic with weekly visits from a nurse. People usually stay for 2 to 3 months and receive case management while here. But there's a need for more places like this.
There's a major gap here, and a lot of people are falling into that gap.
That's Jimmy Jones, executive director of the Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency. He also chaired a task force on hospital discharge challenges in Oregon. The goal was to figure out how to prevent patients from languishing in hospitals. One of the task force's recommendations? Expand medical respite statewide. Jones's agency runs a program like that.
That model is very successful in keeping people alive because a lot of times the homeless population that goes through a hospital system, they may have quite pronounced chronic ailments that trying to fully recover outside from, especially in when it's wet and cold, is just not plausible.
He says our current siloed system isn't built to cover the overlap between healthcare and housing.
When we have this kind of wide gaps and chasms between the scope of these state agencies, then when you get a complex problem that has many facets to it, like this one, they frequently just fall right in the middle. And that's what's happened here.
Medical respite also means using funding creatively. The HOPE program gets money through Medi-Cal and the federal government. But Dr. Kyle Patton says this funding model can be uncertain, making it hard for new medical respite centers to open.
I think historically they just haven't really been reimbursed, right? There hasn't been a reliable funding stream for medical respite. The places that you've seen do it have done it well, but it hasn't been like a broad sort of policy initiative, like we're going to fund all medical respite programs across the country.
So there's still more need for this type of service. There's a bill in the Oregon legislature right now that would direct the Department of Human Services and the Health Authority to study options to expand medical respite. But Jimmy Jones says not much has happened since the task force's report came out in December.
I don't think that concept has advanced very far yet.
Even if there's the political will and the funding, it will take time for agencies to create more facilities to fill this gap. And even once homeless people leave medical respite, they still face the next obstacle, finding permanent housing. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
The Tillamook City Council has chosen Sean Lewis to be the next Tillamook City Manager. Lewis was selected out of nearly 60 applicants. He brings more than 16 years of experience in local government, most recently serving as the city manager of Ephraim, Utah. Lewis was also previously the deputy director for community development for South Salt Lake, Utah, and a county planner in Summit County, Utah. Interim Tillamook City Manager Kevin Perkins says the city is excited to begin working with Lewis, who has agreed to a 2-year contract. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, showers mainly this morning, highs near 58. Showers again tonight, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, showers likely, especially in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, with highs near 60. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, with lows in the low 40s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. See you tomorrow.